Back at it today, Monday, February 10th. We kicked off a brand new busy week here on Connecticut Today. We got a firsthand report from what's going on in New Hampshire heading into the New Hampshire Democratic presidential primary. Also, I added a few thoughts on why, just maybe, if you think about it, television ratings are bottoming out for the Oscars. Gee, I'm just shocked. Did you hear in our news update there? Bottom of the hour. What did Mr. Big Voice newscaster say there at the end? The Academy Awards, the Oscars, the all-time lowest rating. They continue to drop. Gee, you wonder why. You wonder why. Maybe, you know why. Half the country can't stand Hollywood. Now, it's not like me, who just finds award shows tedious and boring. Even my favorite musicians, when they win, I'm like, whatever. And listen, I understand it's incredibly nice to be recognized by your peers. I've won a couple of awards in my lifetime doing this. On the newscasting side, I've won an Associated Press Award. I've won a Sigma Delta Chi Award from Society of Professional Journalists. So, you know, it's nice to get awards. I'm not going to argue that. You know, they invite you to get the award. At least you get a free meal out of it, which is good. You get some rubber chicken or rubber turkey. But, you know, the fact that the Oscars now, the award is just the show. Now, look, 23 million viewers is still 23 million viewers, 23 or 26. So it's still an appreciable amount of people. But in anything media-wise, you look at trends. You know how, like, the financial industry looks at, you know, quarter to quarter, year versus year, 1 year A to year B in the same month? Well, media people, radio, TV, even print or online stuff, you look at trends, you look at metrics. And the fact that the Oscars are down again, listen, people just don't want to get themselves tied up in the politics and the whole woke culture. Oh my God! Well, how many women were nominated? How many African Americans were nominated? How many Asian Americans? Oh, stop it! There's only six slots in each category, six or eight. Shut up. Jeez, everything's on a scorecard now. You want to fix the Oscars rating problem? I have it for you right here. Once again, Paulie figures out stuff in 5 minutes, okay? Don't worry, Eric. That's me banging. He just looked at me. My engineer goes, where's that other sound coming from? That's your dopey host doing that. Here's how you fix the Oscars, and it's really easy. You make a promise. I don't know how you do this. You do an open letter, which they were never, come on, Hollywood's never going to do this. I mean, we had to hear from Brad Pitt last night about John Bolton. Whatever, Brad, wonderful. But it's freedom of speech, I get it. Here's the thing. If the Academy, whoever, you know, whomever votes for this, or the Academy, if they came out and said, listen, we promise the American people, honestly, we're not going to talk politics. We're not going to talk about black versus white. We're not going to talk about men versus women. We're going to have an upbeat, shall dare we say, funny and loose Oscar show. We're going to poke fun at each other. We're going to have some comedy acts, some musical acts. We're going to have a good old homespun entertainment type show and have some fun and give out awards and recognize people who should be recognized. Maybe throw a couple of contests in there. I don't know. Guaranteed you would see the numbers either stabilize or go up. Guaranteed. But again, because, you know, these people, by the way, the gift bags they got, you know how they all get gift bags? Did you see what the value of the gift bags was last night? And there were various estimates here. The value of the gift bags last night was between $200,000 and $250,000. Really? And you wonder why middle America can't stand you. And then you're going to get up there and tell us what to think about politics. Really? Now, if you're an actor, actress, and you want to do this at the Republican convention or the Democratic convention, have at it. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead. But, geez, you wonder why your numbers are starting to plummet? It ain't rocket science. Professor Wayne Lesperance, a longtime poli-sci professor, VP of Academic Affairs at New England College in Henniker, New Hampshire. Professor Paul here in Bridgeport. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
It must be great there. I love this stuff, and I've never actually been in a state, a caucus, or a primary state on the day things are happening because I'm, you know, usually doing this sort of stuff. What's the general vibe, Professor? I would imagine for us political junkies, it must be pretty good.
Oh, think of Christmas Eve. I mean, it's a big, huge deal. Tons of energy. The candidates are here. Their events are absolutely packed. And so, you know, the way we joke about it in New Hampshire is that, you know, we're finally going to have that chance to see so-and-so for the fifth time, and then I'll be able to make up my mind.
Are any of them campaigning at those state liquor stores that are right off 91? Do any?
That would not surprise me at all. They do every kind. They'll go wherever they're invited. Early on, it's not atypical to see them at the local town dumps. They'll get in there, and they'll when people are dropping off their trash, they'll shake hands and talk to them. So, you know, if you can think of a venue, there's a good chance that a candidate's probably been there.
I would think, coming off of what happened, Professor, last week in Iowa, that the Democratic Party, they may have their Catholic rosary beads out, they may have their their menorahs, they may have their Qurans, whatever they're praying to, they must be praying for a smooth operation tomorrow and tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of worry stones that are getting a healthy workout after Iowa. I think the good news is New Hampshire is still a paper ballot state, and I like to tease and say that our app is the ballot box, and so it's a pretty simple approach. People go in, they mark the ballot that they want to, drop it into a box, and then we actually count them and report the results. It's not fancy, not a lot of flashy lights, but you know what? It gets the job done. I think folks can count on and having results in a timely manner coming out of New Hampshire. So I think your broader point, though, is exactly right, that after Iowa, New Hampshire takes on even more importance for Democrats because they really want to get this right.
You know, I professor, and the guest is Professor Wayne Lesperance on the ground in New Hampshire. He's the poli-sci chair and VP of academic affairs at New England College in Henniker in New Hampshire. You know, Professor, I'm really happy that paper ballots, you know, still exist. We're all caught up in this tech. I have my smartphone 3 feet away from me right now. You know, 3 desktops at home, 2 tablets, 2 laptops, but you can't hack a paper and pencil.
It's kind of hard to do. I mean, it really is. So I think, you know, our Secretary of State has actually gotten some flack in the past for not moving to a more modernized system. And his position has always been, you know, sometimes simple is better. And I think Iowa brought that into specific relief for us. And he's sort of looking very prescient these days for sticking to his guns on making sure we stuck with paper ballots.
Is the known logic now up there, Professor, still pointing to a Bernie Sanders win, or is Pete Buttigieg picking up speed here? Is Joe Biden hanging on? How would you handicap the field for us?
Yeah, so I guess I would say to you right now, we've gone from being pretty certain that it was going to be a Bernie Sanders win to calling this a toss-up. All of the trends are pointing to Mayor Pete really making this a close, close race. And, you know, depending on what happens tomorrow, you could certainly see that he's closed the gap and he could eventually overtake Senator Sanders. So I think that's the first big story potentially out of New Hampshire. Joe Biden is looking potentially at a fourth or maybe even fifth place finish in New Hampshire, which is sort of stunning, considering how much of a front runner he was considered by so many people for so long. Elizabeth Warren has had a tough go of it the last month, I'd say. I think if you saw her debate performance, she was, in my view, largely not much of a factor until the very end, where she had a little bit more face time with the camera. And I would say that's very symptomatic of what she's been doing here in New Hampshire the last month. The person to watch is Amy Klobuchar. There is a possibility that Klobuchar will finish third or fourth. If she comes in third, that means that she's defeated or coming ahead of Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden. That's a heck of a story for Klobuchar folks and something they can build on going forward.
And a lot of people, Professor, may say, well, come on, are we overthinking this? It's only the second contest after Iowa. But you know as well as I do, you know, Wednesday morning, all the talking heads and people like you and I on shows like this, you know, they're going to be talking about, okay, now what happens to the funding? That's the big thing here, isn't it? That starting on Wednesday or maybe even overnight, you know, tomorrow night, it's going to be, okay, depending upon who finishes where here, where does the money go?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the talk will be about the momentum coming out of New Hampshire, and momentum in many ways is code for funding. How will the money flow? So I think if you don't, I mean, Joe Biden finishing in a fifth place position presents immediately a challenge for him that's going to be tough to overcome. For Senator Warren, a fourth place finish really is going to present some challenges for her going forward. I mean, there's not an obvious path ahead for her. And so on the other side of it, a Buttigieg win in New Hampshire is going to be a windfall in terms of support. And frankly, lots of voters taking a second and third look at him in, you know, down in states that are further down the calendar. So New Hampshire matters a great deal. And I think being able to report timely results is going to allow campaigns to capitalize on how they did in a way to try to give them some energy, some wind in the sails to go forward.
And, you know, finally, Professor, New Hampshire, you folks up there, you do have an open primary. This is not a closed primary. And, you know, what both sides now have tended to call and adopt in the last few years, these Operation Chaos or Operations Chaos, you know, if you're a Republican or a Democrat, vote for the guy or the gal in the opposite party that you think would be the easiest to defeat. Any buzz of that up there? Are Trump supporters suddenly going to turn out and vote for Bernie tomorrow? What do you think?
Could be. I mean, there's certainly lots of talk about that. I guess we'll have to wait and see. I think what's, you know, certainly that's part of the conversation. And I think there's, you know, I'm not sure if it's concern or if it's just sort of acknowledgement that that's part of the political reality. But, you know, what's interesting is there are candidates like Pete Buttigieg, like Amy Klobuchar, that are actually appealing to Republicans to vote for them. I want you to vote for me, they would say, because we need to beat Donald Trump. We need to bring Republicans into the Democratic Party or former disaffected Republicans into the party. So strategies abound. I expect that because the Republican race isn't particularly competitive, you're going to see a lot of Republicans pick up Democratic ballots and cast their votes for one of these Democrats.
Longtime poli-sci professor, VP of Academic Affairs at New England College in Henniker, New Hampshire. You've seen him on Fox, NPR, read him in the New York Times and USA Today. We've had him here for a few minutes. Professor Wayne Lesbronze. Professor, thank you. We appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Have a great day.
Thanks. All right. There you go, folks.